Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Apologize for the late start. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, executive producer, been there forever, knows the game, watches, breaks it down. It's brought to you by Nick's Place, where, by the way, tomorrow morning, the U.S. is playing the Netherlands, and I am buying, during the match, everyone's Coors Lights. Everyone's Coors Lights from 9 to 11 while the match is on. So let's go. Get over to Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Greg, welcome in. How you doing?
John, how are you, my friend?
Doing great, man. Thanks for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it. Let me ask you this. Have we seen a guy that's been off for a couple of years, and like Deshaun has been, coming back in such an important position, obviously the quarterback position? What kind of rust can we – what do you think? How's he going to perform tomorrow?
I have no idea. I mean, the guy hasn't played football in 2 years. I couldn't begin to tell you what he's going to do. Obviously, at his best, he's a really good player. I know he played in the preseason for a snap or two and didn't look good. I have no idea what that means. But I imagine it's – I would think it won't be easy. You know, it's all speculation at this point. We really have no idea.
What do you think about what Stefanski did with Jacoby Brissett, and what do you think about schematically how he's going to work with Deshaun?
Well, I don't think the schematics will change dramatically. There might be some tweaks based on their sense of what Deshaun does well. But I think when you play all season, because don't forget, it's not just about the quarterback. It's also about the rest of your offense. Everybody has been doing, you know, working within the framework of those concepts, going back to OTAs and through training camp. So you can tweak a few things, John, but you can't make major changes right now because it's, like I said, it's not just the quarterback. It's everybody else. And they're used to playing a certain way. And then in the middle of a season, you're preparing for your next opponent. You're not reworking your methodology.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you happen to slog through the Texans and Miami game?
I watched Miami's offense. Miami. I did not watch the Texans' defense. I hope you're okay with that. I watched Miami's offense.
We're okay with that.
Yeah. Trust no, me. Why would you watch them? But you did watch Miami's offense.
And I did.
And what he's doing, you want to talk about being able to work with the talent that you have on the field? McDaniels is doing an unbelievable job with Tua, isn't he?
Unbelievable. I think it is an incredible marriage of concepts and player. Because Tua is a specific kind of quarterback. He has exceptionally quick feet on his drop and set in the pocket. His delivery is compact. He's very accurate in the short to short intermediate area. He's not a particularly good deep ball thrower because his deep balls lose energy. And then you combine that with the concepts. Because, you know, I made the point this summer when they got Hill, and people said I was crazy. I said, you know, it's not going to be a vertical passing game. The key thing here is that Hill and Waddle, with all the motion and the different formation looks that McDaniel uses, it's all about free access off the line of scrimmage. I mean, look, you saw it this past week with all the reduced splits. When you play with reduced splits with wide receivers, it's very difficult for corners to press. So corners tend to play with more width and depth when receivers are reduced. And then they get off the line with speed and velocity, and their timing and rhythm of the pass game is never disrupted. And that's Tua's game. He's so good at that. And sometimes it just looks like it's pitch and catch and you're in practice.
You know, here's the thing that's going to happen. A lot of people are going to say, we need to copy the Miami model. You know, we need to copy. Well, what's the Miami model? Drafting Jalen Waddle, who my comp on him was Tyreek Hill, for lack of a better comp. I mean, I don't know if anyone's been Tyreek Hill, but Jalen Waddle with this incredible 4.2 caliber speed, and then you add the same kind of guy, only maybe a little bit better. Like, that's not a real, that's not a game plan that you can follow. It just so happens that Miami just had that opportunity for Tua. Tua's got the perfect pieces around him and probably the perfect play caller and the perfect ear. I don't know, Greg, if you took time, John, maybe you either. Did you listen to the Mike McDaniel Tua stuff when Mike McDaniel was mic'd up? I mean, that is the type of personality that after having Nick Saban and then Brian Flores, and now he gets a guy who is easy to is a relatable head coach that he enjoys, you know, talking to. I think it makes a big deal for a player like Tua, and probably for a lot of young quarterbacks.
I would agree. I would agree. But when all's said and done, because everything has to manifest itself on the field,
right,
and all that's part of it, we know that. You know, the process is obviously critical, and I'm a process guy, but ultimately it all gets manifested on the field, and I think that the structure and the concepts of this offense match Tua's strengths exactly, and they minimize his limitations. So he is in a perfect system, and that speed at receiver, you know, if those guys can't be pressed, and they rarely are, then they get free access, and the timing of that offense is just pristine.
That's Greg Cosell from NFL Films, and we were talking about a quarterback there who is in a system where he's really, really thriving. There are some other quarterbacks who are thriving. I think one of the interesting things that's happening right now is some of the decline of the top quarterbacks, and then a guy like Carson Wentz is being beaten out by Taylor Heineke. I don't know what's left. I don't know what's left for him. Is Jimmy Garoppolo's not on the same level, but he is that next guy up that people are going to say, okay, let's look at Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you think Jimmy Garoppolo is able to win at a high enough level without the surrounding pieces he has? Because he has pretty good pieces, some pretty good pieces right now in San Francisco as well. Can Jimmy Garoppolo do more than just kind of steer the ship? Can he ever get to the level of Tannehill, what Tannehill's been able to do?
Well, one could argue that he's gotten beyond that level. Jimmy Garoppolo's been in a Super Bowl and been in two NFC Championship games, and people can debate forever about his role in those years, but the fact is he's done it. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo is not a great quarterback. No one would say that. I don't think there's a mystery as to what Jimmy Garoppolo is. He has to play with the same kind of timing that Tua does. That's what he is. He's certainly not as efficient as Tua, and Tua is playing at a really, really high level right now. But Jimmy Garoppolo, in a sense, is running a similar offense with a ton of rhythm timing throws between the numbers. That's what those offenses are, and those are tough throws to make in the NFL, and Garoppolo's asked to make a lot of tough throws, and he certainly doesn't have the explosiveness at receiver that Hill and Waddle present. But Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's coming off not a very good game. It was just one of those games. He didn't see it well. His ball placement wasn't very good. He had one of those games. But he's shown that he can play, but I don't think anybody would say that Garoppolo is the driving force of an offense, and I think people know that.
Greg Cosell, well, this brought to you by Nick's Place here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. ESPN just put up a graphic of the quarterbacks that signed this offseason for big contracts. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Derek Carr, and Matthew Stafford. And they've all been disasters, Greg.
But yeah, it's been a tough year. You wonder if Stafford might retire. I mean, I imagine they'll shut him down for the season. You know, Kyler Murray's a fascinating guy. He's always been kind of a tough watch for me. When I say a tough watch, I don't mean I don't think he's any good. And maybe it's because, you know, I'm older and the way I think about the position, which I try to expand my thought process and, you know, have a lot of conversations with coaches about the increased importance of guys that move around and can make plays outside of structure. But Kyler Murray, to me, there's still an inconsistency, and I hate that word because it kind of doesn't mean a lot. But, I mean, I feel like you don't know what you're going to get week to week with Kyler Murray, Lance. I don't know how you feel about that,
but
I feel you just don't know what you're going to get. And I think from a coaching perspective, and you certainly can speak to this because your dad was a coach for so many years, when you don't know what you're going to get, I think that makes it hard.
I want predictability and repeatability. Yeah. I want it's like a golf swing. I want a repeatable or a jump shot. There's certain things that you need to be repeatable. And we talk about that with, you know, for a kicker has to have a repeatable swing. Quarterbacks need to have repeatable deliveries. And with Kyler Murray, it's just like, there's a lot of quarterbacks who are playmaking quarterbacks that things aren't going to be repeatable. But the problem is, like for Deshaun Watson, for Lamar Jackson, these guys are making way more positive plays than Kyler Murray. And that's just and that's before, Greg, I've even gotten to the fact that it doesn't appear that his teammates and his team really believe in him. That's another,
right.
That's the bigger issue,
but
I think.
You just hit on a point that I'm a big believer in. you have to make what would be considered the routine throws in the NFL, okay? Because you don't get, excuse me, a lot of easy throws, you know, but there are easy throws, relatively speaking, in the NFL, okay? That's just the reality. But you don't get a ton of those. Those throws, those reads and throws have to be made. You know, if you talk to a coach, they'll tell you that those should be made 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what happens in a game where those special second reaction improvisational plays for whatever reason can't be made. Just, you know, there are games like that, you know that, where those plays just don't happen for whatever reason. Defense takes it away, they're not presented, whatever. You have to then be able to make throws within the structure of the offense. And while movement is clearly more important, and as I said, coaches now value that more than they ever did, they never say that that should be at the expense of executing the offense as designed. And I think Kyler Murray, to me, I don't know that he's going to do that every week.
Yeah, this is my other thing. You know, when you talk about making that A to B throw, that basic throw, it's why Joe Burrow, it's non-negotiable if you're not a really plus mobile quarterback. It is a non-negotiable thing.
I couldn't agree more.
Non-negotiable.
You're 100% right.
Like Matt Ryan doesn't have it now, and that's just not, it's just, there's a myriad of issues for Matt Ryan right now due to age and lack of mobility.
Yeah, I mean,
but I think Jalen Hurts, you would know this better than me, Greg. But I think Jalen Hurts has gotten a lot better at making those everyday throws and making those, you know, point A to point B throws. Is he perfect? No, but I think he's really improved with his timing as well from when he came out of Oklahoma.
And I would agree with that 100%. And I think their offense is really, I don't want to say it's easy because I would never say that about an NFL offense, and that would be the wrong word to use, but I think it's beautifully schemed, and because of the running element that he presents, I think that they're able to define a lot of reads and throws for him, which is, hey, by the way, that's what McDaniel's doing with Tua. That's what a coach should be doing. So that is not a negative about a quarterback. People take that as a negative about a quarterback. That's the coach's job. And when you watch the Eagles offense, which I do every single week and speak to people there, they're doing such a good job of defining it because Hurts, when he's in the gun, there's so many potential running elements. And defenses tend to be a little more predictable. And it just makes it relatively easier to design your pass game.
Greg Cosell brought to you by Nick's Place here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I felt kind of bad for, I don't know how much you watched last night, but Matt Patricia, he's in a bad situation.
John, believe it or not, I'm a little nuts, as you probably know. This is our first year together. Lance knows me. I watched the whole game last night. My alarm went off at 4:30, as it does every day. Sometimes I don't even make it to my alarm, but I've already watched the Bills offense on tape.
What in the world would you want to watch that, stay up that late for that one? But
the Bills.
You know, I kind of like the Bills. Yeah, they're very intriguing to me, and I thought what they did last night, I'm sure you guys watched the game, I thought it was really good. You know, Josh Allen, as we know, is an extreme talent. You could almost make the argument that he may be the most physically gifted quarterback we've ever seen, which is not the same as saying the best quarterback we've ever seen. But you can't ask him to be Superman every single week. You can't ask any quarterback to do that. It's too hard in this league. And they clearly came out with a run approach. They wanted to make it methodical, patient, and obviously Allen made the special touchdown play, but they were not asking him to be special on every other snap.
They actually ran the ball for a touchdown once. That was great. But
yeah,
Greg, I was here last year. I know you're nuts. I already know that.
Okay.
You.
Yeah.
Nuts. So
nuts about football.
No, nuts about football. My question was about Matt Patricia and the untenable. I mean, it just seems like it's just a setup for failure there. I'm putting him in a bad spot. He looked so uncomfortable last night.
And that offense, to me, you know, they haven't run the ball as much as I thought they would, and they haven't had much volume, and production has been spotty. Look, Mac Jones is another guy. He's a certain kind of quarterback. Mac Jones is not a big-time thrower. He's really good at seeing things. He gets the ball out because he's a short strider. He can work in muddied pockets reasonably effectively so he doesn't back away from pressure. But you have to define things for him. He has to be part of an offense. He can't be the driving force of the offense. And right now, again, it's one of those offenses, and if a coach was here, he'd probably tell me I'm nuts, but it doesn't look to me like it has a truly defined identity on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah. What about this Cincinnati-Kansas City game, Greg? Cincinnati's taking care of business against them these last few times.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see. It seems like Chase will be back. He says he's feeling great. We'll see how many snaps he plays. But I would look for the matchups on the outside in this game. The Bengals are a heavy, heavy 11 personnel offense. And one thing about Joe Burrow, and this goes back to his year at LSU, he is not shy at all about throwing one-on-ones outside the numbers. And because these Chiefs will be in their sub-package almost every snap, he's going to be working against McDuffie and probably the rookie Williams. So I think those are matchups to look for because Burrow is an aggressive thrower. There's no caution to Burrow. He turns the ball loose.
Well, it's funny because he was like this at LSU.
Yeah.
If he has a one-on-one matchup where he thinks and he's got two tremendous ball winners in T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. So he knows, I just need to put it up in the air and they will go and get the ball. He's not a tight window thrower outside the numbers, but he is a back shoulder thrower and he is a one-on-one. He has such good touch and placement on those deep sideline throws that – He knows who he is, and he plays to who he is. That's one of the reasons I really enjoy.
No, and I love Lance. I don't know when you do your evaluations, but and college game is a little different. You know, there's guys who are quote unquote more open, but I think in the NFL, as a quarterback, you've got to turn it loose and you've got to make difficult throws. You can't be a cautious thrower in the NFL and be a great quarterback because every game is going to present situations where you've got to turn it loose.
No, and you'll see it. Like you see it on tape when guys. It's one thing to recognize a DB baiting you and not make a throw. It's another where, like I watched the University of Houston quarterback Clayton Tune. One of the things that popped in tape study was that he just clearly didn't trust his arm to make drive throws in certain zone situations where they were open, but he just couldn't cut it loose. And when you have that, Marcus Mariota was that way on tape. You could just see those guys. You got to bet big to win big.
No, I couldn't agree more. That's a great, great point. You know, sometimes Derek Carr is like that too, and I struggle with him. Derek Carr is another guy that tends to be cautious, and he certainly has a big arm and can make every throw, as you know, but he's not a naturally turn-it-loose thrower.
They have ceilings, though. Guys like Derek Carr have ceilings. He's hit a ceiling. He is, you know who he is. Josh Allen, unafraid. You know, Lamar Jackson is unafraid to make certain throws. Is he accurate on deep balls? No. But he's unafraid to take those shots. You have to have a level of – I mean, we could go through all the different quarterbacks. You have to have a level of – now, then you have to, you know, try to tone down turnovers. Brett Favre would throw a ton of turnovers.
I'd rather start with that and work back than have a guy who just throws checkdowns and is afraid to turn it loose.
Yep. Derek Carr. Yep. Derek Carr, Alex Smith
was
like that.
He was a check down guy, yeah.
Alex Smith was the king of that. It's Greg Cosell here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Nick's Place. Once again, tomorrow morning, 9 to 11 during the U.S.-Netherlands game. We'll be buying all your Coors Lights at Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. So come on out. Who you liking that one, Greg? Netherlands or U.S.?
You know, John, this might sound like a terrible thing to say, and I hope like people don't hate my guts. But I don't really have any interest in the World Cup.
We kind of thought that might be the case.
I mean, I'm just, as my uncle used to say, I'm just telling it like it is.
No, that doesn't make you un-American, Greg, okay?
I mean, actually, I hope it doesn't make me a bad person in the eyes of the listeners.
No, but, most Americans feel like you, I think, Greg.
You know, it's football season for me, and to be honest with you, I don't really get to do much else right now. You know, it's kind of what I do. I work 7 days a week, and I watch tape, and I do my job, and I don't really see a whole lot.
That's Greg Cosell, football guy. Not football, football. Football guy, all right? So that's what he does, and that's what he does for us on Friday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Nick's Place. Hey, Greg, as always, we appreciate it, man. Thanks, guys.
I love it. Talk to you next week.
There's Greg Cosell with us every week here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And you know who else is with us? Well, with you, your patios.
Texas Custom Patios. My son was out there. Snacks is all of a sudden I hear the Thursday night game coming from and the unmistakable excitement of Al of Al Michaels on a Thursday. And I'm like, who's out on the patio? And it's just snacks. Sebastian was just out there watching a game. He had his football out there with throwing it up in the air. That's what he likes to do. And so he was out there. And he knows that he can just go out there, turn it on. He knows how to turn on the sound system. He knows how to turn on the game. And then he's watching with the, you know, the surround sound system that's – it's not surround sound, but it's up in the gabled roof. And they built it onto my existing home. I have a certain kind of shingle that was already on there. It's like this metal or aluminum shingle, whatever it is, that was already on there when we bought the home. When they built the patio, they went and found exactly – they did an exact match for that so that they could – it looks exactly like it was built on the home when it – when the home was first constructed. It's unbelievable. My home was built in the early 1960s. Texas Custom Patios does a great job of building out a space for you that you can be proud of, that you can show your friends, your family members. You're going to enjoy your time out there. They do outdoor kitchens that they can install, outdoor fire pits, outdoor fireplaces. It's all everything that you can conceive of. And then over the last few months, they started doing swimming pools, and the swimming pools they've done have been phenomenal. The design and the build out are great. So if you're looking for an outdoor oasis, they can absolutely build that for you. They can finance it, and you can have the backyard of your dreams right here in Houston. Just go to TexasCustomPatios.com to see their entire build out and see what they're doing from start to finish. TexasCustomPatios.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.